Well, this involves major exercise. This next topic, there is a way across Spain, if you don't know, called The Way. As many of you will know, its longer name is The Way of St. James, or in Spanish, Camino de Santiago. It was one of the major pilgrimages of the late Middle Ages. A network of ways actually leading to the shrine of the Apostle James in the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela in Galicia in northwestern Spain. And the remains of St. James were claimed to be buried there. A big deal to have one of Christ's original disciples entombed. And there have been novels and movies and documentaries galore as modern-day pilgrims, whether they're religious or not, seek change or reconciliation in their lives by walking one of the routes. And you can do the full 800Ks, or as few as 120. You can even walk from Norway if you want to. You can, as they used to, walk from Ireland, for example, or England. You can do the English Way, beginning there and then resuming the journey in the north of Spain. Major portrayals of the Camino can be found in novels. Pillars of the Earth was one. Or the film The Way, in which actor Martin Sheen walks to honour his dead son. That was out in 2010, and since then the documentaries have multiplied. Now there's the Australian film, The Way, My Way, which will be in New Zealand cinemas very shortly. It's based on a book of the same name by Bill Bennett, who made a very unlikely decision to walk the full 800 kilometres, and he did it in considerable pain after a bad knock to his knee early on.
I don't know why I'm doing this walk. I want to let the walk give me the answer.
I hope you find what you're looking for somewhere along the way.
And in the film, actor Chris Hayward plays Bill Bennett and Bill's the director. It's a drama with a difference, as we'll find out. Bill is a writer, producer and director of many feature films and documentaries. He's won an Australian Film Institute Best Picture Award. He's had two movies of his officially selected for Cannes. And he's worked over the years with Sandra Bullock, Eric Bana and Burt Reynolds. And a late addition to this chat is a chap he's doing his promotional tour for the movie with by the name of Johnny Walker from Scotland, who I don't know anything about, except he's walked the Camino 54 times and writes all the guidebooks. Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning. G'day, Jim. How are you, mate?
Good, thank you, Bill. And a question for you first. I'd never done anything crazy like this before. A pilgrimage walk. I was not a hiker. I wasn't a Catholic. In fact, I wasn't even sure I was a Christian. In the Australian census, I'd said I was a Buddhist, mainly because they've had such a hard time in Tibet. So I'll ask both of you this, but why did you then want to walk the Camino and the full Camino as well?
Well, to answer your last part of that question first, and I should say, please excuse me from my croaky throat. I've been on a national tour doing Q&As around the country with this film, and I think my voice this morning just decided to give out. But I'll make up for it with my witticisms and deep insight.
Thank you.
Now, what was the question again? Oh, yeah. Why did I do it?
Yeah.
To be quite frank, Jim, I had no idea why I was doing it. How it started was that I was in Spain on holidays. I saw these hikers going along this trail with these backpacks and these walking staffs. And I thought, that's curious. And I sort of followed them to a cafe and started asking questions. They told me they were walking this ancient pilgrimage route. And I asked if any of them were Catholic or if they had any deep religious reasons for doing it. And they all just looked at each other and said, no, not really. And I thought, what a crazy, stupid, meaningless thing to do. And it immediately appealed to me. and really from that it started from that point on. The thing about the Camino is that it gets into you. You know, it's like this little sort of worm that sort of digs in, and before you know it, you're consumed by it.
And for a lot of people, its tentacles go out like an octopus to every country in Europe and beyond. And people walk from their homes traditionally, but people walk Camino routes in their own countries and certainly in Spain. Last year, 500,000 people arrived in Santiago, but that means that probably 5 million pilgrims were on the routes at any one time, because the Europeans can walk. You know, people from New Zealand and Australia don't travel 23 or 24,000 kilometres just to walk for 2 or 3 days. They walk for a month or 6 weeks or 2 months. But the Europeans can walk for a weekend or a few days. So there are huge numbers of people engaged in this process. And we know that only a third of those declare that they're doing it for religious reasons. The rest, the other two-thirds, do it for spiritual reasons, for sporting reasons, just because it's there. Or that, like Bill, they have no idea why they're doing it, but they get a huge amount out of it.
Johnny, why have you done it 54 times? I know Bill's done it a few times. Why 54?
Well, it kind of took over my life. My background was in business as a chief executive, and I walked the Camino as a kind of bridge to a new way of life. I was looking for a more relaxed way of life. But when I saw the beautiful scenery of Spain, when I met local people, when I tasted the food and the wine, and particularly when I met other pilgrims and we had a laugh and we had deep conversations, I wondered how I could describe this to other people. And so I started writing stories, and the pilgrim organisation in the United Kingdom asked me if I would write a guidebook to one of the routes, the Camino Inglés, a short route. I did that, and I loved doing it. Well, they sell the books to make money. And of course, we're now 19 books later. And of course, I had to walk all the time to update these guidebooks. So we're now 54 Caminos and 19 books. I think I might stop there.
You look as if you could keep going. Bill, you'd already had a shift in perspective in your life. You'd walked away from a bad traffic accident. That was about 10 years or so before you began the Camino walk, I think. What changed for you back then? You were filming with Burt Reynolds in America, I think.
That's correct, Jim. What I was doing was I was directing a movie with Burt Reynolds, a thriller, and I had to go to the airport early one morning. We're shooting in New Orleans. It was dark. I was approaching an intersection, and as I approached this green light, I was running late to the airport. I went to accelerate and a voice kicked in and said, slow down. And I thought, I've not had enough coffee. That's weird. So I went to accelerate again and the voice came in more emphatically, slow down. I slowed down and this huge truck ran a red light on the cross street. If that voice hadn't told me to slow down, if I hadn't acted on that voice, then that truck would have killed me. And I pulled up on the other side of the intersection and really shaken and, you know, the adrenaline just pumping through my body. And three questions immediately presented themselves to me. What was that voice? Where did it come from? And why did it save my life? And that started a 10-year quest for me to understand what was intuition. I tried to make this film on intuition, but I couldn't over that 10-year period. And I decided then, when I decided to walk the Camino, I decided that I would walk the Camino and dedicate the Camino to this film that I wished to make, that I hadn't been able to make. There were blockages there, and I was hoping that the Camino would clear those blockages. And so I decided that not only would I dedicate the walk to this film I wished to make, but I would do the walk intuitively, which was terrifying for me because I'm a person who loves planning. But I did walk that Camino intuitively, and it opened up a whole other world to me.
You call this your personal guidance system, that kind of intuition, don't you? So it's remained, you see, a very well-known New Zealander told me his own version of what you've just told us as he was about to fly a plane in cloud into a mountain. A voice told him what to do, and it saved his life, he said. How does that work? You must have thought about this endlessly.
I do, and what followed was 3 years going around the world talking to neuroscientists, stem cell biologists, psychics, quantum physicists, and so forth. I even went to Bhutan and interviewed the Prince of Bhutan and his spiritual advisor, the Buddhist Grand Master. I went to India and interviewed Hindu mystics. And the conclusion that I came to was this, that it was an aspect of me outside of me basically protecting me. Because this aspect of me said that my time wasn't up and that there was more work for me to do. And Jim, what's been quite extraordinary, you talk about this gentleman who heard a voice that stopped him crashing into a mountain. Since making that film, I have had literally hundreds of people contact me, telling me similar stories of how a voice saved their life. This was not a one-off occurrence for me. This is something that a lot of people don't like to talk about it because they're embarrassed. You know, they think that people think they're crazy. But it's a very real thing, I can tell you.
Johnny, what have you got out of the Camino spiritually or otherwise? I mean, have you had the sort of size of experience that that Bill had afterwards? Can you talk a bit about that?
Well, there's no doubt that the Camino has, walking the Camino and walking it several times has changed my life. I moved to Santiago. My plan was to live in the south of Spain. Well, the sun shines. I was going to sip chilled sherry under an orange tree. And I walked 36 days from Seville to Santiago in the winter. From the 2nd of January, I set out. And by the time I reached Santiago, everything had changed. And my plan was within the bin, and I ended up staying in Santiago. I resigned my chief exec's job. And within months, I started going to Spain, volunteering in Santiago. When I arrived there, no one spoke English. No one spoke to me in English. No one said welcome. And so I set up a welcome service. I spoke to the pilgrim associations across the world. They sent me money. I rented apartments. 300 English-speaking volunteers came. And we received the pilgrims. We explained things to them. We showed them around. And that's now a permanent feature of Santiago. And one day, I was writing certificates in the pilgrim's office. And the chap, Danny, who's now my best friend in Santiago, said, John, we have an apartment in our family that we don't use. Would you like to use it? And so it just all of the indicators were pointing in that direction. And 16 years ago, I moved to Santiago permanently. And so you could say it's had an effect on my life.
Has it made you a better person? Because Bill's wife said to him, I hope you, when you come back from this Camino, I won't have to apologise for you anymore. And at the end, at the end of his walk, he realises, well, he starts to apologise for being a horrible person and a terrible father. I don't know if you've gone through the same sort of process.
Well, for about the last For about the last 15 or 16 years of my career, I specialised in helping organisations who were in difficulty. So I was the ruthless guy who made people redundant, imposed budgets and discipline. And out of the blue, a few months ago, the woman who was my chief operating officer happened to be in Galicia, where I live in Santiago, and we had lunch. And she said to me, John, you're no longer angry. And that's absolutely the case. And I go to bed at night and now I sleep. I don't worry about budgets. I don't worry about staffing levels. I don't worry about profit and loss. So I'm very happy.
And for Bill, it humbled you in a different way from, say, being divorced or losing all your money or having a film of yours booed at Cannes. This was a spiritual kind of humility. How would you describe it?
It's really interesting, Jim. I had an old knee injury that had been, you know, flaring up on and off for a while. But prior to doing the Camino, I overtrained. I did several days walking at 35 kilometres with full backpack on bitumen, which is really, really stupid. And so by the time I began my Camino, I was in a lot of pain. It only got worse. And I struggled through that 800 kilometres. I really struggled. And what I started to understand was this. I was in an enormous amount of pain. I came back later and discovered that my knee was bone on bone. I had no cartilage in my knee at all. But when I look back on it now, what I realise is that it was that pain that humbled me. Because before I left the Camino, before I'd had that knee injury, I thought, I'm going to smash this out of the park. I'm going to leave everyone in the dust. I had this really sort of, you know, type A personality arrogance that very, very quickly was upturned big time. I had 80-year-old women passing me on the track. me coughing in their dust. But also with that pain came extraordinary gratitude as well, because I became grateful for little things that I've taken for granted. Just being grateful for a bed at night, was something extremely humbling. Being grateful for a hot shower, being grateful for an act of kindness from a stranger that just comes out of the blue. These things happen, and they don't not only happen to me, they happen to people constantly on the Camino.
We're talking about the Camino de Santiago. The movie is The Way, My Way, based on the book of the same name by Bill Bennett, who also directed the film. And Johnny Walker's our surprise guest. Johnny, if you've just joined us, is the man who's walked the Camino 54 times and written 19 guidebooks. So the film is funny. The film is not earnest, but obviously the Camino can attune you to what's important in life. Can I ask both of you, do you need the full 800 kilometres? As you said, Johnny, people walk just very short distances as well. And in busy lives now, people have to do much shorter versions. How long does it take you to have the full experience or the proper experience?
Well, traditionally, the Camino de Santiago is a long-distance trek. In the Middle Ages, people set out from their homes and walked to Santiago, and then they walked back. Now, of course, people can't do that these days. Very few people can. The concept of pilgrimage is time set apart from your normal daily life to spend walking towards a holy place. And that could be a week, it could be 2 weeks, it could be 3 weeks, it could be a month. I mean, I've met people who walk for 6 months. So it's up to individuals. But the point of it is time for yourself, with the rhythm of walking, sometimes with the pain of walking, but the time to reflect, to be challenged. As you're walking in a foreign country, you've got to cope with the language. You've got to cope with many things. And you've got to meet other pilgrims, have a laugh, have a drink, and share with them. And these are the things which change us and help us to grow. So 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it's up to individuals to decide.
It almost seems, having seen the film, that you kind of need to walk it by yourself, although, of course, people don't. They walk with family groups and so on. But do you tend to miss out on important encounters, for instance, do you think, either of you really, if you don't isolate yourself, if you're not more or less alone?
Well, Jim, if I can answer that one, my wife, I wanted my wife to join me on this walk. She refused to. She said she doesn't need to walk 800 kilometres to find God. And I said, I'm not doing it to find God. And she said, why are you doing it? And I said, let me get back to you on that one. But in retrospect, it was the best thing that I walked alone, because I would not have had the time for self-reflection that I had if my wife had been with me. I would not have met the people that I met if my wife had been with me. I think for me, walking alone was very, very important. Just to come back to your thing about the film being funny, the book is funny as well. Mm. I described the book as being Bill Bryson-esque in tone. And the reason that I chose to write it that way is because, number one, I read a number of Camino books prior, and they were all so serious. They took themselves so seriously, and they were so earnest. And I thought, crikey, walking 800 kilometres across a country with a language you don't understand towards a pilgrimage site when you don't really get the religion. I mean, that in itself is hysterical. I mean, you've got to admit that that's just really, really funny. And so I decided to adopt this comedic tone. But as anyone who's read the book knows, and anyone who's seen the film knows, it gets very serious too.
It does get serious too, but in Martin Sheen's film, which many people will have seen, this, real psychological struggle, but not so much physical struggle. It was the opposite for you, really, and that's part of the humour. Although you had to walk through it in agony, that is part of the humour, isn't it?
Well, look, I have enormous respect for the way the Martin Sheen film. It's been a very important film for the Camino and the Camino community. What I wanted to do with my film was just show how hard it is, how difficult it is, not only for me, but for anyone who walks 800 kilometres. It's tough, you know, and your feet hurt, you get blisters, you get shin splints, you know, it really takes you right to the edge. And I didn't want to sugarcoat this. I really wanted to show it as it was. You know, John used the word authentic to describe the film. I really did want this film to be truthful.
May I say, Jim, the others are not true stories. They're made-up stories, they're confections, they're dramas. This is a true story. And of 20 speaking parts, only 3 are professional actors. Yeah. The rest, from waitresses to me, are real pilgrims relating their real experiences to each other. And that's the power of the film, and it's actually the authentic power of the Camino experience.
Now, I was enormously impressed. It's remarkable, it seems to me, that the real-life pilgrims that Bill walked with 10 years earlier came back to play themselves 10 years later in a feature film, and they're good. They act like proper actors should.
Throughout that 10-year period, we remained good friends. And then when I decided to make the film and decided that I would do it with true authenticity, it occurred to me that, you know, perhaps I should try and do it with the real people. I was able to use basically 40 years of experience as a director to get those very real performances. And so I had Bill, the character of Bill, played by Chris Hayward, played beautifully by Chris, sit down and just talk with them. And I put 3 cameras on it, and we had full battery packs and full media cards. And I gave very little direction and just let it unfold. And then it was all put together in editing. So, and in many ways, those 3 very real conversations have become the heart of the film.
I've got to mention, 5 years later, you were diagnosed with Parkinson's. How's that going for you?
I'm now into my 6th year since diagnosis. It's challenging. It's challenging. I mean, one of the disappointing aspects of it is that I can't walk long distances anymore. But the Camino teaches you, Jim, that that these things present themselves as challenges which you have to accept as being part of life. I'm luckier than a lot of other people. In many ways, I regard this diagnosis as something of a gift, strangely, because it's allowed me to see the world in a different way.
You're a much nicer bloke now, aren't you?
I was always nice.
Sorry, you're even nicer than you used to be.
Well, I used to be humble. I used to be awesomely humble, but now I'm even more humble. But my wife does say that she's noticed quite profound changes, yes.
Ivan, in the movie, you might remember, says that the true pilgrim walks with an open heart, with their heart in their hand, so that they can be touched by the Camino and that they can touch other people. And that's the profound magic of the experience.
It's interesting how the Camino has reached out and just grabbed both of you. From a sceptical Bill who didn't know why he was doing it. I don't know, Johnny, you know, the genesis of your first walk. But it is fascinating how it just grips you in ways that you can't anticipate.
Well, it does. And maybe, Jim, this will happen to you. It will certainly happen to a lot of your listeners. We're planting seeds this morning. They will go off and think about it. They will reflect. They'll do some research. They'll start to dream about walking the Camino to Santiago. And maybe one day we'll see you with a pair of walking boots on, and I'll receive you and buy you a drink in Santiago.
It'll be sooner than you think, actually, Johnny. We're planning to do it in about 8 weeks.
Oh, well, I'm very easy to find. Johnny Walker, just Google Johnny Walker Santiago and you'll find me.
But that's not why I'm talking to both of you. It was in connection with the film. But, Bill, I've got to ask you, I saw an interview with you in which you said you want to walk from Australia now and turn that into a journey to Santiago de Compostela, 3,000 Ks. So have you abandoned that or do you still hope to do it?
I still hope to do it, Jim. Basically, my intention was to do what John talked about early on in the interview, and that is that pilgrims in times past left, walked out their front door, wherever they were in Europe, and they walked to Santiago. And my plan was to do the same thing. I live in Mudgee, which is a country town 300 kilometres from Sydney. I planned to walk from out my front door in Mudgee to the airport, fly to England, walk then to my birthplace. I was actually born in Wimbledon in London. Walk from my birthplace then down to the English coast, catch a ferry across. I would have liked to have walked on water, but I'm still working on that. go across to the French coastline, then walk from there all the way to not only to Santiago, but then to Cape Finisterre, which is in times past was called the end of the world. So my plan was to do from my front door to the end of the world. Now, this Parkinson's has kind of thrown a bit of a spanner in the works, but I've not given up on it. And if I do the walk, I will dedicate it to Parkinson's awareness.
Yeah, good on you. Good on you. And, I'm sure you will do it, because you had to have tremendous determination to do it when you did it the first time, when your knee blew out and you were in agony for a while, very early on into the quest with 790-odd kilometres in front of you, or whatever it was. So it's a triumph of the human spirit for you too.
Well, there is a line, as you know, in the film where a young lady sees me fall and sees me struggling. She turns to me and she says, "You're a stubborn man, no?" And I think I possibly am.
I think you possibly are too. Well done on the film, Bill, and well done, Johnny. And I appreciate you finding the time to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Bill Bennett and Johnny Walker talking about the Camino.